Hello, and welcome to The Squeal, PIC Swine Management Podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. As we continue our look at wean to finish health, we welcome Dr. Joe Connor of Carthage Vet Services.
I'm a veterinarian with the Carthage Veterinary Service located in Carthage, Illinois.
Dr. Deanne Hemker.
I am a PIC Health Assurance Veterinarian located in Southern Illinois.
And Dr. Will Lopez.
Hello, I'm Will Lopez here. I'm wean to finish Technical Services Specialist at PIC.
Managing on-site pathogens. What's involved? Who's involved? And how?
When we have a pathogen in our herd, you mentioned containment. Tell me about that. How can we manage to keep that from, well, if possible, spreading throughout the entire herd?
It really starts with reinforcing and having the staff understand that there is an opportunity to contain pathogens if we have early recognition. And then if we take proactive steps, and also if we actually go backwards, what I mean by that is that if we have an outbreak in a pathogen outbreak in a farrowing room, for example, we may have to backtrack and rewash the hallways, rewash the boots, change the boots, clothes, similar to what Dr. Hink was alluding to on the loadout side. So it's really taking that approach and recognizing that there may be an opportunity there.
One thing I think that's really important in terms of trying to do a biocontainment is really early recognition. I know, of course, being in multiplication, that's one thing we strive to train our farm staff on, is to alert us immediately of any changes from normal in terms of looking for clinical signs and communicating to the right people if we see a change in status. The earlier we know, the more proactive we can be to limit spread, whether that's in a facility or if it's not possible to limit spread within the facility, to, of course, protect our other assets, our other sites in the area. We like to have segregation between sites, but they're just the nature of the swine industry is that we're likely to share a truck wash or a feed mill or things of that. And we want to look at all those interconnected pieces and make sure that we can adjust things to limit spread to other sites.
Along the lines of your comments, guys, I think that here is where I believe that surveillance has a huge impact and a huge utility. Early detection of disease challenges in swine operation will certainly make us more effective in terms of contention. We will be able to manage that. If we can early detect, we will minimize the spread to others, other herds or within the herd. I think Dr. Connor was mentioning something as well about the movement of people is extremely important. If we know what is happening, that early detection or the awareness of disease pathogen outbreak as early as is possible, we can block internal movements in what we can call internal biosecurity. That is basically the biocontention. So in terms of improving biosecurity, I think surveillance has a huge impact there.
Will, do you think, or how far away are we from some pig side tests that would be available within the barns?
Wow, that's a very good question. Honestly, I know there is some work going on there in trying to develop rapid tests and actually even portable PCR machines and things that we can do on real time or point of care tests. In terms of time, I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to tell you like how far away are we, but I know there is work going on that. And as you know, diagnostics is linked to technology, and as technology progresses, I think we will get there eventually. I don't see it too far away, to be honest.
Ned, one of the interesting things that I think we got to be aware of is that as we put more technology in facilities, there's a tendency for the staff to just assume someone else is watching the health from afar, and it becomes a little bit more challenging to get them, as Dr. Hammond said, to communicate and look for changes. And so for us, the best example is if we might put in sound talks and that would monitor the respiratory changes within growing pigs. And sometimes you ask the caregiver, did you notice this increase in coughing? And their comment is that, well, someone else is watching that, so we'll just go on and keep doing what we're doing. So I think it's an interesting shift that we just have to be aware of, that we likely don't want to be in the middle. We either want to have someone that truly is monitoring that output on a daily basis, or we want to continue to emphasize for the caregiver to monitor that both in the barn but also on the dashboard output that comes.
How do we train our caregivers currently? Are there tools, are there resources that we can use to help make sure that they know what to look for?
I think there are a lot of resources out there in the industry, particularly I think our pharmaceutical companies have done an excellent job of providing some of the early pig identification programs and training. I think the most important thing is to not ever undervalue your time in barn with your caretakers, though. As you're on these herd visits, to spend time with them, look at their treatments, see if we're catching pigs early enough or are we catching them too late where our intervention strategies are probably not going to be as efficacious, and what hands-on pen side training can we do with our caretakers. Generally, we've got great people in the barns and they want to do the right thing, so just helping them hone their craft and learn to identify pigs at the right time so that our intervention strategies have the best chance of success. I always feel that, you know, in barn hands-on experience is probably the most valuable, but there are also a lot of online programs, videos, etc., that we can sit down and have new hires look at and train to initially.
Dr. Connor's point about this transition period, this changeover from one to the other is an excellent point. It happens in many industries. In our industry, how would you suggest we deal with that? Do we just not let them know about some of the new technologies so that they continue to report as they had in the past? How do we keep that from happening, from gaps opening up?
I think we combine both the technology and what we expect them to do on a daily basis. I think what we want to avoid is them getting the confidence that because someone else might be looking at the output or the dashboard, that alleviates them from doing. They're still the feet on the ground, the caregivers that we need that match up with what we see on the output. So we got to be careful that we continue to emphasize that and really do that by, one, being sure they got access to the dashboard and what does that really mean. And not only what are they recording potentially on a daily basis, but how do they interpret that and match that to what they're seeing on the pigs themselves?
Sometimes I think it's helpful to quantify for them what would be considered abnormal. I know in the past I've been interacting with farm staff and they feel like they are going to raise an alarm that was unnecessary. And so training them to say, you know, we appreciate you communicating these things. We'd rather know than not know. And then trying to give them some guidelines on what to communicate. I know sometimes we've given them some parameters, such as if your treatments increase by, you know, twice the amount, or you see an increase in cough 2 to 3 days in a row, if your mortality changes and is X percentage over target, just trying to give them some guidelines as they're learning to know if it's something that they should communicate, letting them know that's not a hard and fast rule, but it's something that they could kind of use if they're unsure of what to elevate in terms of a concern has sometimes been helpful as well.
And Dr. Hemker, you mentioned a little earlier that there are some videos out there that we can source. Are there two or three that pop to the top of your head as far as sources that are a place for an organization to go to that haven't done that?
You know, some of the ones that pop to my head when I think of training caretakers would be the Zoetis Early Pig Care, you know, the identifying your A, B, C type pigs. So you want to catch acute pigs and not chronic pigs. And they have a nice video and training course of showing you the different categories. And that was always a good visual training material that I found helpful. Will or Dr. Connor, other things out there that you guys have found really useful for your teams?
There's been two things. One, I've fully in alignment that the early pig care and the individual pig care has tremendous value. It's something we want to continue to reinforce because one of the maybe restrictions on wean to finish performance is that some of the growers only have turnover every 6 months, and they may only have one or two groups. So essentially, you've got to go back and retrain or re-educate them in terms of the importance of the individual pig care, the early pig care. The other thing a colleague told me a number of years ago in that we miss more things by not seeing or not viewing than we ever miss by not having enough information. So back to your point, Deanne, is that it really is important to get in the barns and match what we're seeing, what the pigs are telling us versus what we believe is occurring within those barns. And the last thing is, I think even when we work on individual pig care, our ability to detect marginally, particularly respiratory pigs, in large groups of pigs. So commonly for us today, it's between 75 and maybe 150 pigs in a pen. That is an ongoing activity that we see that the caregivers struggle with. They are able to pick out maybe the what Zoetis would call the B or the C pig, but their ability to pick out the A pig continues to be challenging for them.
I'm shifting gears a bit. I want to talk about multi-source pig flows. We'd like it to be single source. It's not always an option. How can we best maintain the health status on a herd of pigs that are coming from multiple sources?
Excellent point, Ned. I'm glad you brought that up. I think this is one of the areas that I struggle with the most, trying to maximize wean to finish health management, is when you're working with a system that has chosen to co-mingle, maybe it's two, maybe it's three, sometimes up to four flows. And we can understand the desire to do so in terms of production efficiency, cutting down on fill times and age variation, and just maybe based on the size of your barns. But I think we underestimate the impact that that can have on wean to finish health. If you have similar health statuses, you could get along fairly well through that turn. However, if you have dissimilar health statuses, you can see significant morbidity, mortality, and I think we underestimate the impact that has on the overall productivity of that group or subsequent groups. So one thing I think we have really focused on lately is really quantifying, evaluating your health status so you can make the best decision when you do have to commingle. We know it's not always feasible to single source. So how can we help our producers make better decisions if they have to commingle and if they have options in commingling? So I think we all typically will say, okay, well, what's the PRRS status? What's our coronavirus status and potentially even mycoplasma status? But I think one thing that's really under evaluated is our endemic agents. So for instance, our strep or HPS, those kind of endemic bugs, we may not always have great information. And unfortunately, we've seen if they're really dissimilar, that can cause significant health challenges. So I think that one of the steps is really knowing and evaluating the health status of each of those flows before you make that decision to commingle so we can be proactive with either vaccination strategies or antibiotics if needed. But I'd be interested in Dr. Connor's take on that as he's worked with a lot of systems, I'm sure, that have to commingle and your experience over the years in that area.
Yeah, now you're showing my age. Yeah. Well, I'm very much in parallel, and I do think back in terms of maybe 15, 20 years ago, we would have been working with several systems that had, as an example, 8 or 12 finishing barns on the same site and maybe 8 or 12 sow farms that potentially could commingle those pigs. When those pigs were flowed to their separate barns, even though they were on the same site 50 to 60 feet away, you would always get better performance than even mixing within those barns. And so I think it really emphasized to me that if all possible, single source flows, and don't overvalue that just having barn integrity or room integrity still is an advantage. Now, having said that, if we leap forward, as you mentioned, Deanne, right now we do commingle, and we still are, I'd say, frustrated at our ability to monitor enough to be proactive. As we think about the diagnostics today and we think about processing fluids and oral family fluids, et cetera, that we have available to us, at least for PERS and other strategies for influenzas, you know, we can do that, but we tend to lose focus after those herds stabilize. And so we always get into an argument over or discussion over what's the cost of continuing to do that would make us proactive. And so generally then when we commingle and we have activity, at least that turn or that population then drives us backwards to intensify the surveillance back on the suckling pig population or the sow population. So I always feel like that is an area that we can improve as we move forward, but we're not there today like I'd like to see us.
Can you think of any characteristics that are common in the organizations that do that well, that manage multiple pig flows well?
Yes, and it goes back to what Deanne said is too. It is about monitoring replacement gilt health, matching up strep suis strains or Haemophilus parasuis strains, utilizing the dendrograms, and then if possible, continuing to keep those in parallel. So gilt flows with the health status in parallel to the sow herd status. There's frequently an Achilles heel because of within systems, then maybe something happens at the multiplication, and so then you have to switch and make those kind of decisions. The systems, though, that can remain stable at the multiplication and can continue to do surveillance, have the opportunity and do make better decisions with respect to flows.
One thing I don't think we've touched on a lot about is just boosting overall immunity management. I think that's a huge component of weaned finished health status. So I think it starts with first at the sow farm, making sure that we're boosting that maternal immunity. We have an adequate immunization program at the sow farm, and we're keeping our sows in optimal nutrition so that they're well nourished and they're providing adequate and good quality colostrum, and making sure that we get good colostrum intake in those piglets at the sow farm. And then, you know, as the piglet goes on through its life, developing that immunity management plan. So what is the vaccination strategy that we're going to do based on the pathogens we're concerned about? And then always minimizing stressors. I don't think people always, or sometimes I think they take for granted the impact that stress has on the immune system and how it's really going to affect the pig's ability to mount a good immune response. And so I think it's really important that we're making sure our environmental management is there and we're minimizing stress so that we can get the full potential of those animals.
Yeah, I'm very much in parallel to that. Not only is it's a big gap that we can spend the rest of the day on, is we think about this wean to finish health status, and we have spent quite a bit of time in this discussion today about the organisms in general or pathogens in general. But when you think about what the influence then is, because of the difference in maternal antibodies, the difference in the protection of those, duration of the maternal antibodies, it really comes down to, as you said, Deanne, how do we acclimate? But also, there's some things that are still challenging to us. We've not been able to get the parity 1 immunity to the same level as a mature sow herd immunity. So some of those episodes in the wean to finish barn relate back to weeks or batches of weeks where we have changed the parity structure of the sow herd for one reason or another, flowed in more gilts, or we may have changed the wean age either because of over farrowing. Those factors and others then drive the downstream health status, and it's an area where there's still opportunities to try to manage that tighter. And then with that, I think, even though we've talked quite a bit this afternoon about a system approach, you still have to roll in that individual sow herd approach because of those other confounding factors, whether again that's wean age or parity structure of that herd. And we have to be careful as veterinarians that even though we're trying to look at a system, whole system approach, we still got to think through that individual sow herd and what the differences between sow herd A and sow herd B might be that we can influence, even though it might only be necessary for a 16-week time period. There is still value in trying to understand that.
I couldn't agree more. I think as, you know, our systems get more integrated, it's easy from a compliance standpoint and training standpoint to have, you know, a generic vaccination or treatment protocol that we're going to apply across a system, but it can't be undervalued the need to tailor that to the farm and any health challenges they're dealing with, or again, you know, the pig flow and structure of the farm to make sure that that vaccination or treatment strategy is really appropriate for what the farm is working on and the overall health status. Again, it's nice from a training and a compliance and ease of keeping track, but we can't make everything cookie cutter, so to speak.
I'm actually in the same, totally in the same page as you guys, and I'm so happy that you brought up this this part of this subject. I think we have done, and I think we have talked quite a bit about that. We have done a great job in the sow herd in the breed to win stage of production, and we are sometimes not capitalizing that effort in the win to finish area. I see the management of immunity management of those pigs is extremely important, since that it has relation with what I call the wean pig quality. The wean pig quality, I think it takes over what some of the factors you already mentioned, as winning age, winning weight, the same immunity of the pigs, because that's the raw material that in the wean to finish area or in the nursery finisher area we're going to start working with, right? We have been working maximizing the output of the sow herds and maximizing the health status there to maximize output and improve production. But in the wean to finish age, we need to also, we need to ensure that there is some quality or improve the quality of that raw material called the pigs. That is what we will start working with going forward. So I think Diane described perfectly all what implies the immunity management, boosting maternal immunity, colostrum intake, even going back to the source, like the sow farm nutrition, like the nutrition of the sow to ensure a very good milk production and colostrum production. Immunization programs that will ensure that the sows can pass the immunity to the offspring as well. And start with defining the risk of disease outbreaks, work very closely with their herd veterinarians for producers to understand the risk of disease and to generate or program the plans that are more adequate to the specific situation of each system or farm or individual farm approach, as Dr. O'Connor was mentioning before.
Our thanks to Drs. Joe Connor, Will Lopez, and Deanne Hempker on part two of Wean to Finish Health on The Squeal. You're welcome to share these podcasts widely in your organization. In fact, we encourage it. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.